Hello, Gordon. Jeffrey Wells speaking.
Hi there.
Thanks for agreeing to chat on such short notice.
That's okay. Did you get your house cleaned?
Yes. It's sparkling.
Great.
It's sparkling. Well, I was just speaking to Bob about how delighted I was with the with the mere analog DVD version. I don't have a Blu-ray player. I don't have a 46 or 50-inch LCD or plasma. I'm very much on the lower end of the scale, but I was truly delighted by what I saw. I didn't really expect, given that I am sort of low-tech in the world that in which we live today, I didn't expect it to be as pleasing and as just tonally satisfying. It was a very, very nice experience. Surprise! I was really, really enjoying the absolutely distinctive enhancement that I sensed in each and every scene. It was wonderful. Really great.
Good. What did you look? One?
One. I haven't gotten a two yet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, gee, I'm glad you like it. That's great. Yeah, that's.
But Bob tells me, I mean, I'm just saying this for the benefit of people listening to our chat.
Yeah.
That my 36-inch Sony flat screen and my, very good DVD player, I'm getting about 15% of the information that has been generated by this new restoration. Correct? Would you put it that way? That's what.
Well, no, I wouldn't, because it's very hard for me to, it's like saying, well, let's scan it this level and scan it that level, and I don't. He's probably more qualified to tell you the percentage. I would really land on, what does it look like on the screen? The percentage that you're getting is, just to put it in layman's term, is 100% better than what was out there before. They did a really, really good job, which has to do with the rate that they did scan it, etc. So, the material is infinitely better than what was punched out in the past, for a lot of reasons, actually. Not only the fact that you got a very good scan rate and the transfer is very good, but rebuilding the negatives, etc., and retiming everything, brought everything basically up to snuff. And I had looked at the same material that basically the same material that you're looking at in a pre-release form that Paramount had sent me and I'd made some changes, etc., which I assume they punched in, but and it looked very, very good. And I wasn't looking at Blu-ray; I was looking at standard, depth like you are, and I was essentially pleased with it. So I'm glad. I'm glad it turned out that way in production as well. So.
It's really a blue chip example of what a really superb restoration can look like. And I have you seen personally the restored version projected in 35 as well as shown in 4K? Or have you seen?
I haven't seen it shown in 4K. No, okay. I haven't. I'd rather see it that way, to be honest with you, because I have seen. Bob invited me down for a screening a while back of one and two over two nights, and I wasn't dancing in the streets, and it was very, very problematic. And that wasn't the restoration that was problematic, and
right.
The data files were all very good. But the problem is... the print stock that is available from Eastman now does not. I'd be throwing a fit if I were shooting and using this stock because it's garbage. And so I was very upset about that. And I said, "Well, I can't really endorse this for commercial release. This positive."
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they've sort of opened it here and there, but I don't mean, but. I said, to be honest, I said, I don't care because I think prints are going to be a thing of the past pretty soon. I think digital projection and home theater are going to just sort of, eliminate the whole print problem.
You know, it's funny about digital projection, but they have been at the screening rooms occasionally been showing a digital version before the 35 is ready. This has been going on for, you know, 3-4 years, 5 years. And it's unmistakably not as real in as celluloid is, because it feels overly precise and too enhanced.
And I agree with that. It sort of gives me a headache.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to sit there for 3 hours and watch it that way. It's just not as organic as film.
However, something happened really miraculous when I saw Zodiac digitally projected.
Yeah, what happened?
At the big Paramount Theater, you know, the big one in the lot. And, you know, because he shot it digitally, and it was projected, and I was in heaven watching this was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, because it was trying to duplicate Gordon Willis's eye in the early to mid 70s. I mean, it was that time, and it was very much a tribute to that, to All the President's Men, you know, the whole thing, that way of looking at life, that way of capturing the textures of the 70s and the
right.
It was really something. I was just delighted. I take it you haven't seen that film, or do you?
I haven't actually. Some other people asked me about it too, and I haven't.
Yeah.
I just haven't. I think it's long, isn't it?
It's long, but worth every minute, because it's it's about obsession and trying to find that riddle, to find the solution. And it doesn't come, but you keep going, and it's just a kind of a metaphor for getting something creatively right, or, you know, it's kind of a metaphor for the creative process. I think it's beautiful.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
well,
that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I still haven't seen, jumping back to the other thing, I still haven't seen the Blu-ray myself. Actually, I did all the work on looking at it on standard
stuff.
But
you have a place on the Cape, right? You don't have a Blu-ray player at your home. You're saying, is that what you mean?
No, I just haven't looked at.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it because they didn't send it to me. All they sent yet. They will.
Right.
I was doing all the timings and corrections on standard DVD, which transpose properly, you know, to Blu-ray.
They
hadn't punched them out yet.
Yeah.
So, but when I get them, which should be soon, I'll take a look.
One thing that's really wonderful about the age that we're living in is that your the very best rendering of your of these two films. I'm a fan of just God Wept Father 1 and 2, not much of 3. Is much more available, much more readily available than it was when it first came out. I have a story to briefly recall. The very first time I saw Godfather 2 was at a theater in Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, really?
And it was a weekend, I believe, and it was the first show of the day because of the first one I could get to, and the guy was late. He hadn't gotten there on time, the manager, and who's also doing the projecting. And it was cold, and the place wasn't heated, and I remember that it was distinctly underlit. I knew it was underlit, even back then, and it was... And I just never, you know, I mean, I've seen a little bit of 2, but it's just so much more satisfying to see it in this form than it did, than it seemed to me back in the 70s.
Yeah, well, you actually are seeing the way it was intended. I mean, in a lot of theaters it was that way, but for the most part, when I was shooting for Woody, it set up theaters for the opening instead of make sure they were okay, and then you go back a week later.
Right.
And they weren't okay anymore. And you say, what have you guys been doing here? You know, most theaters are below standard in their projection equipment. So they're supposed to have 16-foot Lamberts on the screen. They end up with 9, you know,
yeah.
Things like that. And
what is the SMPTE standard for?
16.
They asked for 16. Got it. Okay. I thought it was more like 12 or something. But okay.
12 in Europe.
Okay.
Actually, 12 in Europe and 16 in the United States. But you're not running the same prints, etc. You know. So.
Yeah.
But actually, they're very deficient. Mm-hmm. They function. I hate to pay money and sit in the theater anymore because it's, you know, it's getting it right is secondary.
Yeah.
So it is better to watch it at home.
The very first time I saw Godfather was in Boston.
Oh.
At a very tender age. And it was, I remember this as vividly as if it happened last night. I knew enough about aspect ratios that I was a little surprised what I was seeing, and I swear up and down I saw a 1.33 to 1 or 1.37 to 1 version. They didn't show it with a mask,
right.
And I thought, oh, this is fantastic, because what they're doing is, because this the time period of the first Godfather is 45 to 50, and what they're doing is presenting it as if it was a film shot in 1.33 Academy Standard Ratio from during that period. And I loved it. Then, of course, the next time I went, I realized that wasn't the idea. But I thought it was a... I swear, that's how I saw it. Isn't that... It wasn't hard matted, was it? Wasn't it open?
No, and I never believed in hard matting pictures. And the reason I never did it was because I always made sure that in photographing the movie that the Academy was completely filled with information, because, well, most of the time... 1.85 is, you know, it's a standard that you shoot with, but it's a fantasy when they project, because you can be watching anything, you know. I mean, it's not on the nose, so the information is top to bottom, so you saw it, they just didn't have a mat. You know, if they didn't have any screen mats, or they probably didn't have a mat, you know, in the projector either, but...
I mean, the aperture plate wasn't there or whatever. It was, they were showing it with...
It could have been a combination of both.
Yeah, yeah.
The interesting part about your story is... when this movie, before it went into production, Francis said, well, I want to shoot, this should be 1.33. I said, well, where are we going to see it, in Russia? But that's a very, you know, great idea, but nobody's going to be able to see it anywhere. But I always, so it's funny that you, by mistake, saw it that way, but in general terms, I always kept it open for television and always kept it open for mistakes in theaters so that they didn't have to reprogram anything, you know.
So one could look at this 1.33 version someday, somehow, and it would not have boom mics or anything. It is protected for that aperture.
That's correct.
Right.
It's fully, you know, filled with information.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's why when they went to television, there was absolutely nothing they didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
It was just fill right in. Yeah.
Now, that mentioning television and everything, that brings up the, I'm sure you've been asked this, but I was very content with, and quite actually taken with, the re-edit of the mid-70s called The Saga.
Uh-huh.
And I've always kind of wanted to see that as a, not to, you know, as a kind of an alternative way to watch the whole thing.
Right.
And that doesn't seem to be, unless I'm missing something, available on for home video, correct?
No, it's not. Ron Francis recut. Well, I wasn't a really big fan of that idea, but he recut. There's more information in it. Things that weren't in the movies.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was done in principle.
Right.
For television, I was a little ticked off because they gave it to CBS, and then, as television people will do, they dialed out what was ever in the movie to meet their requirements. So I never really liked.
Oh, I see.
But. I don't know. They might do it again.
Right.
It might be on video.
Right.
I mean, someday. I'm not sure. Not with Paramount, I don't think, but
yeah.
It might.
I'm dying to know, given your eye and given the respect that people have for you, did you happen to see Children of Men? Do you know Emmanuel Lubezki and the work that he did in that film?
I'm going back through my memory now to see whether I ran that or not.
Like 2 years ago.
I might have, but I don't want to qualify because I'm not. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Why?
Just one of the most thrilling things I've seen in terms of a continuous no cutting and composing shots through choreography. You know, just a, you know, all handheld, but it was amazing how it wonderfully sustained certain action scenes where it kind of rewrote the book on how you do action in a way that really pulls you into it, not with just the, you know, the cheap and very easy to accomplish cutting of bang 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 bang, you know,
right,
which gives
right.
you a sense of velocity, but it doesn't really do anything. It's just, you know, anybody can do that. Anybody
right.
can do it quickly.
Right.
anyway, it was wonderful. Yeah. Who's do you have any big, you know, are there any DPs that you're particularly enamored of in the realm that we're living in today? Anybody in the last, you know?
No, I haven't really hung my hat on anybody, but there's some talented people running around. I can't pin a tail on any of them right now, but I think it's very difficult for anybody of any value to shoot anything good today, because I think there's a definitive lack of people that actually know how to present a narrative motion picture anymore. I find that most movies lack definition, and the people that are making them don't know how to do it.
Do you feel that way about the Coen brothers and their work on No
Country? I feel much about them. I don't think I don't feel that way about Fargo, and possibly one or two others, but
yeah.
I do in the last two, especially this last one with Brad Pitt. It's awful. So I don't.
You went to see that locally in?
Yeah, I forget. Yeah, around here somewhere. I forget.
Yeah.
But, I just find that the capability of a lot of filmmakers now does not lie in the fact that they can tell a story in an appropriate way. They
yeah.
just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Also, their writing, for the most part, is poor. So, not that there is not a jewel that surfaces every now and then, but for the most part, I think it's not good.
It's intriguing. What you're telling me is that as attuned as your eye is to really good cinematography, what truly moves you at the bottom is storytelling and not just craft, which is a...
Oh, it's not enough. You know, it's... I mean, there is no art without craft, but the bottom line of it is the... you know, it's like some guy says, I have an idea for a painting, and if you can't paint, your idea is not much good. Well, that's sort of I take for granted that you
yeah.
But without story and without you know, a narrative, you can make a lot of pretty pictures, but they're not really relevant. There's nothing really driving the idea. You know, it's just, it's not good. At least I don't think it is.
Mm. What's been, what has lit your fire in the last, you know, year or two? Anything that you've seen?
Oh, God, if I knew you were going to ask me those questions.
You would have made a list up, right?
Yeah.
Whenever anybody asks me, what's your favorite film? I say, get out of here, man. I can't tell you that.
Yeah, I don't have, it's like when they ask me, what's your favorite that I shot? I said, I don't know. I have lots of information in all of it that I like, but I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't really, at the moment, can't think of it. There have been one or two, I guess, but I'm telling you, in my opinion, it's been slim pickets. I don't think there's been enough legitimate work happening anywhere.
You know, we spoke briefly when I was at People magazine in the mid-90s, during that time of that kind of faux, not that ungenuine restoration. They called it a restoration, but it wasn't, of course. Remember when they brought Godfather out in some way, shape, or form?
Oh, God, that was terrible. Yeah, I know. That was...
But I remember, I think I saw it up at the Castro, I think, at the time. And I remember that phrase that you told me, that they were basically just hanging wallpaper, which I thought was really funny. You know,
it is. That's what they're doing. They are just hanging wallpaper. It's really...
But one thing that anybody that knows this film really well will notice in the Coppola restoration version, which is that the party scene in the very beginning is significantly brighter and sort of glary. I mean, the whites kind of flare out in a way.
Right.
And it's as if the sunlight is overwhelming a person's eyes, and that's kind of the way it looks, say, if you've been in a dark room. It's really brilliant, because they modulated that in previous versions. They kind of toned down the glare of the outdoors, and I've forgotten...
Actually, when I did that, I was criticized for doing it, mostly by constituents, other people, other photographers, but I didn't really give a shit. I did it anyway, but it was like...
Yeah.
It was to have this kind of 40s Kodachrome, you know, party kind of overexposed feeling to it. And then it's like you say, it cut back and forth, the juxtaposition of this room and this party.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really the core of the party that's that way. But I liked it at the time. I guess I still do. But nobody ever really understood it. They always thought it was some sort of...
mistake?
Yeah, right. But it wasn't.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, it's delightful to. I could go on and on and ask all sorts of questions, but I've. But I thank you very much, Gordon, because I got to head off to another thing at 11. But it was wonderful and an honor to speak with you, and I'm. I just will always cherish your work, and I'm just wish you well. And I'm very happy for you and for Bob Harris and for Francis and everybody that helped this version get to, in front of the public. So.
That's good. It's nice of you to say. You'll enjoy it, too. It's really much better than it. It's very nice.
I am absolutely in love and will be for the rest of my life. That wonderful feeling, that wonderful texture of the inside the boathouse on Lake Tahoe,
yeah.
And the snow gently falling on the lake outside is absolutely one of the most captivating images in my entire life as a moviegoer. I mean, I've never forgotten that, how beautiful that is.
I'm glad you like it. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Very nice to speak with you. Be well.
Take care.